The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
You're listening to the High Spot Podcast. I am Jeff Martin alongside my tag team partner. He is back. He is so back. The trendsetter, Brian Perga, finally returns, joins me here as we recap WrestleMania, the Bullet Club Block Party, the G1, so many other things. Takeover. Trendsetter, how you doing? Another WrestleMania is in the books. But the most importantly is I got my tag team partner back. What is going on, my man?
What is going on, Jeff? It's mission accomplished. We survived WrestleMania weekend, especially me. I survived a very stressful, may I say, a couple weeks leading into WrestleMania. I know I kind of left you high and dry, missing in action here from the High Spot Podcast, missing members of the crew. But guys, I am back here. I am excited to be a part of it. You know, it's kind of a long road when you lead up to this. We're talking about the road to WrestleMania and how it's exciting, and it's been nothing more than living up to its hype. We can talk about the card itself. Did it live up to the hype, the main event, et cetera, et cetera. We can get into that. But in terms of the entire event, the festivities, it was exciting. It was fun. And it just reminds you once again, and it gets cliche when people say this, but why it's so much fun being a wrestling fan, because when you really look at it, no matter where the location is of a WrestleMania, everything else around it, just you feel that excitement, that energy from the audience.
And there's nothing like being actually healthy for a week like this, because you can plan all you want, but if you're not 100% in health, then days and weekends like WrestleMania weekend really can't be savored, because
it was full circle for me, man, because most people don't know this, but Jeff and I, the whole WrestleMania experience started around WrestleMania 29. I was incredibly sick, had a stomach bug, lasted longer, almost close to 2 weeks, couldn't enjoy it for what it was worth. So to me, there was more retribution, wanting to kind of go back and do it right the second time. Vindication, yeah. Exactly.
Retribution was you're going to get back that sucker, want to get back at MetLife.
Well, I was getting back at MetLife, because when you're weak and you're dehydrated, walk up those steps and those stairs after you take NJ Transit over is not fun. So I definitely got back at it, but it was a great moment, great experience. Jeff and I had a moment, especially standing outside of MetLife right before we're about to leave the arena, looking at it and saying, man, unbelievable how much time flew by. And it makes you reflect a little bit of where we started, where we are now, where we hope to be in the future.
Yeah, the trendsetter really doesn't get that emotional. I tend to be the most emotional out of the duo, but I saw a little gleam in his eye.
That's because I got sunburned in the face, guys, seriously.
Oh, man. We're going to get to so much stuff, guys. Big show for you today. I mean, this is the rarest of rarest podcast interviews, because the man doesn't really do a lot, because he's usually in Japan, in New Zealand, you know, everywhere except in the U.S. But the Underboss, one of the original brothers from the Bullet Club, Bad Luck Fale, will join us here on the High Spot Podcast tonight. So that's going to be amazing. So looking forward to that. But Trendsetter, you know, let's get into the festivities. Let's get into all the action that we saw. It all started Wednesday. We want to congratulate Battle Club Pro for having a tremendous show. Women Crush Wednesdays. They killed it like they always do. So obviously want to, you know, send out kudos to them. They always do a tremendous job. What a way to kick off the whole week with Women Crush Wednesdays. So again, shout out to Battle Club Pro. And then, you know, Trendsetter, you had, you know, working duties. And then I went to the United We Stand show. It was a really good show, and you know, they started like around 11 o'clock. We're able to get good media, and make sure you go to highspotpodcast.com. All those media interviews will be on there this Friday heading into next week. So we're going to get that all for you ready on our High Spot Podcast website. But you know, that was great. And then we got into Takeover on Friday, and I will say, another great Takeover, and just the emotion of the whole Gargano and Adam Cole match. That third fall was a tremendous fall, an epic fall, and one of the most memorable things to happen out of this past week.
I mean, when you think about kicking off WrestleMania weekend, what a great way to kick it off with Takeover. Takeover, I think, did a really great job, as they always do, especially in the build-ups to events like this for WrestleMania. But, you know, you're right, man. I mean, the emotion behind it. I mean, the only thing, you know, and this is nitpicking, because, again, it takes nothing away from Adam Cole at one bit. But, you know, for the story to have reached its full potential and climax, would have been awesome if it was Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa in the ring together. We knew what happened to Tommaso would prevent him from being in the ring, dealing with neck surgery, a fusion of the neck to a degree, and we hope him to have a speedy recovery coming back. But again, you can't describe in words, and we all know, Jeff, I'm used to making up words in my own English language, to describe the emotion behind it, especially that second fall. If you look at the match, the pace of the match, it kind of went up and down. But again, for that particular reason, because it's a special moment where the crowd's at the edge of their seats, so many false finishes, which I'm sure a lot of people sometimes hate, but then I think in this sense it worked and it served a purpose. And to see that emotion in the eyes of a guy like Johnny Gargano and everything he has done and gone through NXT, not just in terms of storyline, but, you know, for example, a guy like him, you know, being considered very undersized, very small to be a professional wrestler, to be successful, and now he's the NXT champion of a brand that, you know, I don't care what other people say, they can go around and say developmental, and it's true to an extent, but man, when you look at the crowd out there and they see the focus and dedication they have for the superstars of NXT, it doesn't feel like a developmental league. Yeah. So it's a brand of its own. So great way to cap off what was an amazing ride for Johnny Gargano to reach this point in his career to be NXT champion.
Well, you said that in the ring that Ciampa and Gargano weren't there, but towards the end of the show, up on the stage area, you saw Ciampa come out, and it was just perfect closure for a tremendous story that's been told for over a year, and the chapter was closed. It came full circle, and, you know, seeing Ciampa up there with Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano congratulating him, I mean, to me, the story was amazingly, they were able to, and this is also, you know, kudos to everybody on the writing staff of NXT, to Shawn Michaels, to Hunter, they get it. The story was told full circle. A lot of people were kind of like, oh, you know, Ciampa kind of broke his character, the heel. You know what, though? You know, when he comes back, he's going to be a face because he's going to be cheered for coming back from that neck injury, a very serious neck injury. And, you know, so first and foremost, let's hope that Tommaso Ciampa is 100% just, you know, to do whatever. But obviously, he comes out, and you can see he's in the neck brace, and he, you know, congratulates Johnny Gargano, and the friendship is real. And really a feel-good story. One of the things that made me almost tear up was that was a tremendous story. So it's good to see that. And then also, too, you're talking about the NXT fans and their loyalty. One of the things that I saw was the way that Ricochet and Aleister Black were sent off as well. I think that was a great part of NXT. You see the emotions in their faces of what NXT meant to them. But the whole Ciampa thing, man, I mean, I had no problem that it was done on top of the ramp. I don't know if you wanted to see in the middle of the ring, but it's amazing how that story just culminated in New York, in Brooklyn, this past Friday.
Well, I think if you check the special of Tommaso when he went in for surgery, it kind of talked about the whole history of Gargano, Candice LeRae, what they've been through together, you know, since they started with WWE and signed developmental deals. They've all, especially even prior to that, being on the roads together, you know, there was a very close-knit group back then. And in terms of how it plays in the story, you know, you talked about how most people probably like in the ring. Well, a lot of what happened with Tommaso and Johnny Gargano happened on the ramp, as we all know, being training him,
that's
and
where
then Johnny.
Ended,
and that's where Johnny Gargano trained, and that's where it should have ended, basically, to finish everything off. Like I said before, you would have loved them to finish it off in the ring, meaning them both competing for the championship and Tommaso Ciampa dropping the title to Johnny Gargano. But again, you take what you can get, and still a very nice feel-good moment there. In terms of the writing, Jeff, I think, you know, what I ended up scratching my head about is the fact that, you know, you have this writing staff on NXT and how they do it. I understand the way it's done in terms of production is a lot different than what you deal with on Raw and SmackDown. But at the same time, the key there, the formula is there, though, when you really invest yourself into a storyline saying, listen, this is a long-term goal. It's funny you mentioned, right? I mentioned this because not too long ago I was talking to the Moody Barber about this. When you look at stuff like this and you look at the plan, it has to be sought all the way. Unless there's something drastically that changes, you have to see it all the way through. With something like this, when we didn't think that, you know, Tommaso, when he had the blown knee out and had to deal with a lot of other issues, could this last a year? Now with the days of social media and things like that, it could last a year. What was the long-term goal here? And when you saw that storyline written and the way it's done, you couldn't have done it any better. But ultimately, it's just the commitment of the NXT writers to say, listen, we're going to play the story out no matter what happens. And ultimately, the end goal is going to be the payoff, which we saw at TakeOver in New York and Brooklyn. And what a way to go, man, because like I said, for a guy like Johnny Gargano, and to see the emotion of Tommaso Ciampa not only congratulating his friend, his best friend, but also hearing the admiration from the audience of how much they respect him, of what he's done and what he has to now go through to get back into the ring, the one thing he loves the most.
Yeah, and we hope he gets back in the ring. We wish him a speedy recovery and hope to hear from him soon. It's going to be a while, but hopefully Tommaso makes a full recovery. Now, Friday in the morning, we were able to do some media for Ring of Honor. We want to thank Mark Rustall from Ring of Honor Media Relations and thank him so much for setting up some of these media interviews. It was a tremendous build-up for the G1 Festival of Honor. We were able to hear from Jay Lethal, from PJ Black, from Matt Taven, from Kelly Klein. It was history-making. You could see that it was something that was definitely in the back of their minds about what it would be like to wrestle in front of a MSG crowd for the first time ever. The first time in almost 60 years that a non-WWE company goes in there. And so we go from the Festival of Honor, talking to everybody there, going to the G1 Supercard. And to me, it was my favorite part of WrestleMania weekend. The G1 Supercard was tremendous. And listen, we can spend a whole show on it. I would love to do a G1 recap show. But the political party was very busy for us. But again, something that I love talking about is the future of New Japan, the future of Ring of Honor, and the future is bright, ladies and gentlemen, because Okada now is the new IWGP Heavyweight Champion. Very questionable whether he should have beaten Jay White, but you know what? MSG huge moments. No one makes more bigger moments than Kazuchika Okada, a record-breaking five-time now IWGP Champion, Ibushi and Naito. Ibushi winning the Intercontinental Championship, and then you also had just tremendous match after tremendous match. And just your thoughts on the G1 Supercard? I think it hit a home run.
I'm kind of mixed in between whether I think it hit a home run or not in terms of a company standpoint, in terms of what the message they're trying to send out there. But let me leave you with this, Jeff. What I took away from it the most was that when you look at the audience, and more importantly, when we did the Festival of Honor and we were able to speak to everyone who's involved from Ring of Honor into the G1, for example, a guy like Jay White or Kelly Klein, and like a guy like PJ Black, just to name a few, you can tell in the voice when they get asked the question, which I'm sure they get asked time and time again leading up to it, it's like, what's it going to feel like to be in Madison Square Garden? Are you going to be able to, like I said, savor the moment, enjoy it? And a lot of them just kind of, have that look in their eyes like they still can't believe it's real. They're in the building. And it's like a dream come true for them. If you're a professional wrestler, you've always wanted to work at Madison Square Garden, as they say. So what I got from the G1 Supercard of Honor, when it was all over, was like these individuals, these women and men, gave it everything they possibly could give. And that's what you want as a fan. You don't want to have anything held back. You don't want it to be, play it safe type of thing. It's there to take risks. It's there to give your best shot at it. And I think ultimately the effort was there. The end result, we'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm not going to agree with you 100% that it was a home run. But I think from a wrestling standpoint, you can't get anything better than that in terms of the quality of wrestling you saw out there tonight. Not all of them were great matches, but neither one was one where you're like, I'm going to concession stands for this one, because you wanted to see the end result.
Yeah, and again, the only issue is that it's like kind of WrestleMania. You're trying to reward everybody for being at Ring of Honor and New Japan, so you want to get everything in. But one of the main things that I'm going to, right off the bat, I enjoyed the Battle Royal. I loved seeing Jushin Thunder Liger and the Green Muta. To me, that was and I don't like saying that term bucket list, but that was another two names that I can scratch off of watching in person. I also saw Jushin Thunder Liger at one of the takeovers in Brooklyn, but just to see him in one of his final matches before he retires was tremendous. And the Green Muta, man, chills.
Yeah.
On the back of my neck.
I never thought, I was in and out of consciousness because I was just that exhausted, but when I saw the Green Muta, I was like, wow, it's a good thing I didn't doze off. And Jeff, was trying his best to keep me up. But that's one of those special moments, I'm not even saying it's a WrestleMania. No, it's a G1 moment.
No, it's a wrestling moment.
To basically.
In New York City, the Great Muta, amazing. And then, of course, Marty Scurll, Jay Lethal, and Matt Taven. It was Madison Square Taven. And obviously, it's a natural progression. Matt Taven is the next guy in Ring of Honor. And what a better way to pass the torch at Madison Square Garden for Matt Taven. Yeah, any issues with the outcome of that match?
No, I kind of saw it coming the way they were building it up, and just super happy for a guy like Matt Taven because, you know, as much as you might dislike him for, you know, how he acts and who he is as a person on screen, when you see him off screen and you see him talk about the importance of how long he grew up watching wrestling, how much he loves it, and the memories he has of it. So to see that happen for somebody like him who even, you know, Jay Lethal has mentioned several times before, we don't see the Matt Taven off camera, who works extremely hard at his craft, who works extremely hard to be the best he can be. And to see all that hard work pay itself off for a guy like Matt Taven, I'm happy for him. It's really cool to see where he's progressed from Ring of Honor to where he is now. Now being the face of that brand, which I'm sure he's wanted so many times and so many opportunities, now he has it. And now the biggest thing will be, you know, this is the easy part, to become the champion. Now the biggest part is, can you hold on to that belt and represent Ring of Honor in the way that you want to represent, to take it to that new level? But extremely happy for a guy like Matt Taven. It was kind of written in there in terms of a feel-good story moment on his side, and really happy that he was able to achieve that.
Yeah, I won't even address the whole Enzo Big Cass thing, just because to me, I just felt that you're going to promote your sport. You're going to reward the people that are there. It's something that I could have done without, because for a few minutes, that was the whole talk of the G1 was that. And I think that it kind of took the focus away from the stars that were there. So as far as that's concerned,
I would agree, but still, they're still talking about it, though. And that's the thing, too. You want people to continually talk about something. Two former WWE guys at a Ring of Honor event. I mean, let's go back to, you know, the WCW days where they thought WWE was invading WCW. You had Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. Oh, two WWE guys. No, I'm nowhere near comparing Scott Hall and Kevin Nash with Enzo Amore and Big Cass, but you know the similarity is there. You want them just to talk about it, whether they're talking about Enzo and Big Cass and WWE. At least they're talking about the event, and then they could talk about other stuff. But you know, in this day and age, Jeff, any publicity is good publicity right now.
And believe it or not, if you want to argue with me, fine. But Big Cass, Enzo will draw a lot of interest, a lot of eyes, just because he is that lightning rod. So whether Ring of Honor, what they decide to do with them, Big Cass, on the lighter side, Enzo will draw them numbers and ratings, because that's just the kind of guy he is. He's people draw to him, and he does have a lot to say. All right, so Trendsetter, now we go to the Bullet Club Block Party. It was a great time. Talked to a lot of members of the Bullet Club, and one member that we definitely wanted to talk to the most was the Underboss, Bad Luck Fale, just because the fact that the guy does not do that many interviews, and plus he's so dynamic. He was part of the 30-man Rumble, one of the favorites, and it took so many guys to get him over the top rope and beat him. But this is a guy that is a quiet leader and definitely had a huge influence in that whole beatdown that the Firing Squad did on the Bullet Club a few months back in San Francisco. So, what were your thoughts from talking to Bad Luck Fale?
Well, my first thoughts were I didn't want to be anywhere close to his hands. Guy has massive hands, and I don't want to get chopped in the chest by him by asking him a stupid question or looking him the wrong way. But what I got from him, though, is that, you know, the amount of, you know, he's a cool cat, man. He's calm and collective, but at the same time, he understands the importance of special moments. And he understands in terms of things, you know, being done organically, like you and I talk about, you know, the main concept of what the Bullet Club was from where he started the beginning to where it is now, I thought was really interesting from his perspective.
All right, guys, we'll get to the Hall of Fame. We'll get to the Bullet Club Block Party, and we'll get to WrestleMania after this interview with the Underboss, Bad Luck Fale, as he joins us on the High Spot Podcast. All right, the Bullet Club Block Party, High Spot Podcast on Bodyslam.net. Jeff and the Trendsetter here with the Underboss, Bad Luck Fale. How are you? How's everything? Are you enjoying the festivities so far?
Yeah, man, I'm loving it. I'm loving chopping everybody here.
Yeah, I know. There's people showing it like a badge of honor. They're like, look,
he's loving it. The people are loving him doing it to them.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Talk about yesterday's history making G1 Supercard at Madison Square Garden.
It was amazing, you know, once in a lifetime I fought. Never ever thought I'd do a show in there, you know. We were backstage there, everybody just overwhelmed that we were there. So
backstage, amazing. Was there a lot of sense of nerves, or people just anticipating, just kind of stepping up their game of really being excited to go out there and perform? Yeah. What was the mood in the
Yeah, everybody was excited. First time at a historical place like that for everyone. So everybody was a little bit nervous and looking forward to it. Yeah.
You were one of the favorites in the in that Rumble match, and it took so many guys to get you off of there. Talk about, I really thought you were going to be the winner there. You talk about the match. How was it like being in it?
I was, unexpected.
Yeah.
You know, I was in there, and I was like, I can't believe I'm here. You know, and then, but I was hoping to be in there with my longtime idol Haku. You know?
Yeah.
You know, same team, but I was hoping he'd come in and join me in there, but I was I was out before he came out. So, yeah.
What was the feel of the crowd for you when you were out there?
Awesome, awesome. You know, just like in Japan, I can't believe, you know, the Americans know us, you know. Mm-hmm. In Japan, they, of course, everybody knows us in Japan, but when we came out yesterday, the crowd was going crazy, and I was like, man, they actually know us here.
Well, not just there, but here in the Block Party, too. Everybody knows you. Everybody's saying, hey, what's up? Want to get chopped by you. What does it say about the reach of New Japan Pro Wrestling and the Bullet Club when it comes to days like now with social media being as popular as it is? You can, you know, you can tweet something. You can send a message. You go on YouTube now. It just seems like there's so much more areas where you guys can kind of just showcase your talents nowadays.
It was awesome because once we got on stage there, I saw how many people were here. And that was surprising. I didn't think there was going to be that many people, but... Man, I was
so humble. He really is.
I'm serious, you know. But 6 years on and still have a following like this, it's crazy, man. But it's all because everybody's doing their job, you know. And
you know, it's like kind of like when you belong to like a sports team, the names change, but this, the symbol, the Bullet Club, now it's become iconic. It's like you say Bullet Club, they know what you're talking about, and you were one of the, you know, the first members. And talk about the transition now, because a lot of people here in the States thought that as soon as you lost Cody, the Bucks, and Kenny, that we wouldn't hear from the Bullet Club, it wouldn't be the same. But you, and a lot of people, you know, you got to prove them wrong, you know. You guys believe that you guys are going to be a better unit now. Talk about the difference now, you know, before when they were there, now, to now.
I'd say nobody was worried, you know, because those guys, they thought they were the name, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they're gone now, and the name's still there, and the people are still following, so... You know, we weren't worried when they left. We're like, okay, doesn't matter. We've been through this before. We're going to come back.
You're right. You've been through it before. You were there from the beginning. You're here now. Can you just talk to me about the fact when the concept was first brought up to you? What was your first initial thought on it? And can you believe it's gone this far at this stage right now?
Well, I think not many people know the actual story was, you know, first they put me together with David. To just do something with David.
Yes.
But when I made my debut back in Japan, when David turned heel, the reaction from the people was so crazy that, you know, the bosses said, okay, let's do something different. And it wasn't planned, you know, so they said, okay, they showed you so much heat, let's go with it. So a couple of weeks later, we all got together and we just blew up.
And sometimes those are the best things, too, because something that wasn't planned worked itself organically, naturally, and now look where we are now, here at the Block Party.
Exactly. And I credit that to New Japan as well, because, you know, they gave us the creative
freedom.
You know, they said, okay, we put you together. What are you guys going to show us? And we as a group said, okay, let's just push the, boundaries. Let's push it as far as we can. And then if they tell us not to do something, then don't do it. But they were willing to let us do what we want, and they just blew everything up.
You guys gained titles last night, the Ring of Honor Tag Team titles, come home to Girls of Destiny. But you also lost, you know, the Junior Heavyweight Championship, and you lost the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Usually it's, you know, it's tough. It was a tremendous matchup for him and Okada. Got to give respect to Okada. What does this mean for the Bullet Club? Do you guys got to regroup? You know, what's the message going forward?
Well, you know, like they always say, the journey is more fun than actually reaching the goal. So, you know, this just means we're going to have more fun in the next couple of months.
I love that you said that. The journey is fun than reaching the goal. So many people, like yourself, are very goal-oriented. You're going out there. This business is always go, go, go. What's the next thing to do? Have you had opportunity maybe this weekend or looking now back at, you know, the inception of the Bullet Club and where it's gone to now, have you had a chance to enjoy that journey and not worry so much about the destination?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it, and I've reached some goals that I've put my mind to, but once I've reached them, I've set new ones, so I'm always on that chase. You know?
What's the newest goal for you right now?
The newest?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the newest is always...
Besides chopping all these people here in the block party.
Every single one.
Exactly. Sure.
It's been a while since I've been a champ of anything, so I'm looking at Juice Robinson's USA title. So now I've got my American visa, so
yes, I can perfect timing.
Try and get that belt so I can come here more.
And we would love to have him come to the United States more.
And final one for me is your thoughts on New York City, just coming here, and, you know, just your thoughts, your impressions going, you know, but the city, did you get a chance to, you know, tour, do anything?
Dude,
impressions.
Man, one of the food, oh my God, the street food.
Oh.
Then all the pizza places.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm never going to be on the diet if I lived here. Man.
It's like a kid in a candy store, right? So many options to choose from.
And then yesterday I found a cigar shop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. I love cigars, and I was in there for like 3-4 hours just chatting with the guys who were rolling it and stuff.
So now you have no choice. You have to win the U.S. title to come back here more and visit the New York metropolitan area so you can enjoy all those cigars and foods and carts and all that stuff.
Yeah, man, I'm enjoying it. Yeah, I love it. Love it.
So cigar, like, what's your favorite? What's
the brand?
I'm not a cigar.
The shop I found yesterday is Martinez Cigars. So it's my new favorite brand because they were so good last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, listen, hopefully the next time you take one, you're celebrating a championship. And listen, thank you so much for your time. It's like a rarity to get a chance to have Bailon Filet on the show. So
I rarely do it.
Yeah,
so. As you notice, I'm sitting more this way so I don't expose my chest to be chopped. You
almost got there.
But I want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Continued success for the Bullet Club. Really are big fans of it. And again, thank you for coming on, Bailon.
And
so
huge appreciation for all the work that you do.
Thank you so much,
my friend.
He is Bailon Filet, High Spot Podcast, Body Slam Net, Bullet Club Block Party.
All right, guys, Bullet Club Block Party, man. We got a lot of sun, Trendsetter. Your face is still a little red, but what a tremendous few minutes with Bailon Filet, who I believe afterwards started chopping people again. If you saw his Instagram, he said he started charging 20, but then his hand got it tired, so he charged 50, and the line even got longer for that. So Bailon Filet, soft-spoken, but well-versed, and here's a guy that the future is bright for Bullet Club. Let's be honest, man. A lot of people thought that after Cody and Kenny and the Bucks left, that it'd be the demise, the beginning of the end of the Bullet Club. But that turnout for the Bullet Club party, I mean, the momentum is still huge. They still love these guys, whatever incarnation is. And, you know, we talk about the name on the back of the jersey. That Bullet Club logo is iconic, and a lot of people now, when you say Bullet Club, they're still going to flock to it because it is Bullet Club.
Yeah, no question about it, Jeff. No question what you just said. But here's the thing, too. Like, this is something you and I talked about several, you know, months before WrestleMania was going to occur, when, you know, Kenny and the Young Bucks and Marty left and Cody left and you know, what was going to happen to this group. You know, the Elite now are going to be known as the Elite, and now we're going to just, the Bullet Club was left to kind of repair itself or fill in the gaps, right? But I told you, this wasn't the first time this ever occurred, ever happened. It happened to Bullet Club when Fergal left, or Finn Balor, when AJ left, when, you know, Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, they left as well. People were like, what are we going to do? And I said, it just leaves the opportunity now that, you know, can it be better than the version before it? That's always the goal, right? To be better than what you once were before, and to evolve in this industry. If you don't, you're going to fall back and you're going to die. That's just evolution. Can it be better? I think its own version it can be. But time will tell, because there's a group there. They're not as well known as, you know, the die hardcore fans know them. But at the same time, you're right. You know, that emblem, that symbol in the middle, Bullet Club, is iconic. It's known. So when you're wearing that, you know, we talked about perception being reality. You're already perceived. If you have a Bullet Club shirt, it's not because it's a cool thing to wear. It's not like the NWO where everybody just gets a shirt, you know, and everybody can go in the ring. Yeah. The ring is filled up with guys. You know who they are. No, when you wear that and you have the opportunity to become a member of the Bullet Club, it's an honor. It's because you're considered to be one of the elite athletes in wrestling or the future. So I think it's going to happen. Members of the Bullet Club don't seem worried about it. They seem pretty confident, as rightfully they should be. And I think right now we're in the stages of seeing what happens, especially with the leader, as they've acknowledged Jay White and where he hopes to go. He had a bad time at the G1, losing the title to Okada. But I think, you know, it's a small bump in the road, as was collectively the message we got from them. And I think that it is a small bump in the road. It's going to lead to other things bigger for not only Jay White, but the Bullet Club as well.
You're right. I mean, even though they did lose the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, Jay White seems to have that faction, the guys all in line and all, you know, following Jay White and have bought into Jay White's leadership. That is something that was lacking for a little bit, was leadership in Bullet Club.
Let's just say this. Jay White's been confident way before he had the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Yeah. And so that just continues because he knows he's gotten to the mountain before. So what happens? He just gets just as hungry to get back to that mountaintop again. So, you know, if I'm Okada, enjoy it. But you know what? You have the whole Bullet Club coming after you now, which isn't always a good thing.
And, you know, again, thank you to Bad Luck Fale. Definitely check the interview out on bodyslam.net. Check it out as well on our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe us there. Follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. And you can listen to the High Spot Podcast where all podcasts are available on iTunes. And definitely also, again, also on bodyslam.net. You can find us there. And a lot of these interviews will be posted on our YouTube channel. So make sure you subscribe there. It's youtube.com/highspotpodcast. So the Bullet Club Block Party, a tremendous turnout right across the street from MetLife Stadium. And before we get to WrestleMania, the only thing I'm going to say about the Hall of Fame was, like, God damn it, if I was a wrestler there, I would love to pop that guy that tackled Bret the Hitman Hart, man.
I
wish, man, I would have gotten a chance to pop him one, man, because that to me was the most obscene thing that I've seen. And, I mean, man, Bret Hart, God bless him. I'm glad that he kept together, that he wasn't injured, and that he was able to, you know, pay tribute to the memory of Jim the Anvil Neidhart, and long overdue for the Hart Foundation to get in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the feeling is mutual for everybody, whether you're a wrestling fan or a wrestler, to have something that happens there. I mean, the guardrails are put there for a reason, folks. I mean, we as fans have so much admiration and respect for the professional wrestlers. I don't call them sports entertainers. They're the pro wrestlers that, you know, do the sacrifice, put their butt on the line, and go through those amazing moments that we live vicariously through. So when you look at the Hall of Fame, I've always considered it a way for the fans to show their appreciation. But when you have something like that happen, it just puts a bad taste. I mean, not that I'm saying this guy, I'm not even going to mention his name, don't even know his name, don't even care to know his name, does something like that. It just gives the wrong impression of what the fan really is. We're all appreciative. We all want to, you know, salute the people that have paved the way and the people that have put those moments in our minds and our hearts forever. And especially Gali Berhart and the Hart Foundation being inducted. I think it's a couple years too late for that to have happened, but, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I hate the fact that it just sends the bad representation of what us fans, the crew that listen to the High Spot Podcast, that we see out there on the streets when we're going to wrestling events. And for just people that love professional wrestling, it just puts a sour taste in your mouth because it shouldn't have happened, and it ruins that special moment that you can never get back, in a sense. But again, Bret Hart being a true professional, consummate professional that he is, joking about it, but at the same time, it's like you never want to see that happen again, and you know, happening once is way too many times, so they'll definitely rectify that. But unfortunately, that's where the separation between fan and professional wrestler, the gap gets wider now, because you always have to be concerned, because you're always going to have some nut going out there doing the wrong thing representing us.
And as far, and again, well done, WrestleMania. I'm glad Hangi Tuckerman and Bruce Barbarique got in. Harlem Heat, well
Brudai.
Tori Wilson, say what you want, deserving to be Hall of Fame.
I think she, above anyone, nailed her speech.
Oh, man.
Her speech was awesome. Great. Awesome. I loved her speech.
Awesome, man. It meant a lot to her. And for her to be there just days after losing her father, You know, again, that had to be hard for her to do, but nice way to dedicate something to her dad as well. And Stacey Keeler making a return, man. Both of these females.
Can they age very, like a day, honestly?
Very instrumental into our puberty and us growing up.
Oh, of course. No, there's no question about that. But my good, what is Stacey Keeler, Tori Wilson, Trish Stratus, and Amy Dumas, Lita, taking? I need some of that, man. These women look like they've never aged one bit, especially Trish. Look at Tori. She looks like she's just starting the industry. It's unbelievable, these women, how well they take care of themselves. But again, you said huge. They guided, all of them guided me through my adolescence and through puberty, and I thank them all, each one individually, for that. Because you know what,
they made you the man that you are today.
The trendsetter. Maybe it's not a good thing. I don't know. Time will tell on that one. But thank you so much, because again, they were a huge part of our lives in terms of that era of we saw of what the evolution is now of female wrestling.
So the streak continues, trendsetter. We made it to WrestleMania.
We didn't think it was going to happen, folks. We didn't. We waited in line for 4 hours. We thought the streak was going to end.
Was not looking good. And we,
oh, my God.
There's a point where we had kind of like, you know, just came to the realization that, you know what? Might be a you know, network and pizza kind of night for us, especially after a long weekend, man. No sleep. I mean, it was... You need a vacation from the vacation. You definitely need a vacation from this because, you know, I'm still getting my wind out of this, man. And it probably won't be till the next episode that we, you know, start, you know, getting back on even keel. But it didn't look like we were going to go.
It's a safe bet to say, Jeff, that it's the best no sleep to get because we're doing stuff we enjoy.
Yeah, do what you love, man.
So we can't complain about it. It'd be different if we're waking up on no sleep doing something we don't want to do. Here, we're willing to sacrifice the extra Z's for some great moments. So it was definitely worth it.
And so we finally get through the door. We sit high atop. And we sit high atop MetLife Stadium. Watching overview. Made it to the opening match, which is fine. Congratulations to Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins on becoming the Raw Tag Team Champions.
Yeah.
And you know, I thought about it, Trent, and I was like, wait a minute. The match at WrestleMania, that losing streak... What a way to end that losing streak at WrestleMania. So that's when I realized that Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins really had a shot at this. So kudos to them. It really touched a lot of people in New York, man, having Curt Hawkins winning as well as Zack Ryder, the tag team titles.
Ah, because you're invested. You always root for the underdog when you see that happen. You know, you said it like, oh, it was kind of written it was going to happen. Not necessarily, because how many times has WWE, you know, taken that storybook ending or that, you know, feel-good moment and turned it around because, you know, we don't believe in that kind of stuff. You don't get that professional wrestling. It comes few and far between. It really does. Yeah. So it wasn't a definite given that that was going to happen, but a good moment and good for guys like Zack Ryder and Curtis Hawkins who have been, you know, stables back, you know, in my opinion, during the time where, you know, you had the main stars like Stone Cold, The Rock leave, and I'm not, you know, putting them in that echelon, but I'm saying you had that transition where, you know, you're waiting for new superstars, and they're an integral part when they were, you know, teamed up with Edge when he was the World Heavyweight Champion. So they've definitely been a huge staple in WWE for a while. So to see them get rewarded, Zack Ryder got rewarded at WrestleMania 32 in Dallas when he won the IC title, lost it the next night, and I have to say that just because it's true. And then this for Zack, and to see Curtis Hawkins, you know, for them to forge their team again and come full circle, say, listen, we started together, not that they're necessarily going to end together, but it's good to have, you know, gone out of that rut or that purgatory together as a team and have people actually believe and root for them, which I'm sure is a surprise to a lot of people. And if you're WWE, we hate to say it's a no-brainer, because how many times can we say that about certain things, and WWE bypasses it, but good decision that they made to keep this story going.
Also, past Raw too, they kept the title, so that was good. You're kind of worried about that too. You're like, oh God, no! But yeah, they kept it. So we'll see where you know the storyline takes them with the revival. But you know, again, congratulations.
They survived a week, Jeff. That's all they could ask for.
Survive a week. That's all you can do in this crazy business. So Tony Nese wins the cruiserweight championship, another local product.
I never saw the match. We didn't see the match, obviously, because we were outside. But I heard it was really, really good. So I'm looking forward to looking back at this match because a lot of people say that one stole the show.
Really?
Yeah, that's what, you know, Moody Barber told me that match was awesome.
Oh, really?
I got to go see it.
All right. So, and then you had Carmella and Braun won their Battle Royals respectively. And then we get into the main event of WrestleMania, the biggest stage of them all. I'm just going to leave it at this. It was too long, even for us who are huge wrestling fans. It's just too damn long, the show. And I know people are going to say, oh, you know, maybe make a WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday. And you have, you know, this set of titles, you know, on here and these set of titles on Sunday. No, listen, you just can't reward everybody. You just can't. You really can't. If worst comes to worst, put everybody on the Rumble then on the pre-show, you know, and then just make it 10 matches tops and let's go home. There is no way Ronda Rousey, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch should have started past 12 o'clock. And to me, yes, the matchup did not live up to the hype, but you can't blame them too much when the crowd is already spent and they're waiting for this matchup and we got to get stalled for a 7-second dance break. Come on, just give us the freaking match. And to me, starting so late didn't help the match. I'm not going to say it was the sole reason why the match didn't live up to the hype, because it wasn't. There was a lot of sloppiness in the ring, which was surprising, right? But you just can't do that. You can't start your main event at midnight, man. It was just no way, and it put the girls already in a bad spot.
Well, I'm not going to put so much emphasis on the fact that it started late. I'm not going to use that as an excuse. It's something to look at, obviously, because when you're looking at it for future shows, like, you don't want that to happen. I mean, that's unfair to the fans. That's unfair to the talent, too. Listen, I'm ready to go now, and you're going to put me in this late. But, you know, I look at it, you know, they didn't hit a home run. They had a huge opportunity here, and it just didn't work out. It wasn't what they had hyped it all up to be. And this was my biggest fear, and unfortunately, I get a chance to say this weeks beforehand because I was missing in action, and Jeff was kind of keeping the show afloat on his own. But this was my biggest fear. They're hyping this up, and when you really look at the build-up to WrestleMania, this was the only thing that was the main focus. It wasn't the Universal Championship. They did a little focus on Kofi Kingston, kind of, you know, assuming the Daniel Bryan position where everybody's rooting for him. He's the underdog against Daniel Bryan's calling him a B-plus player, et cetera, et cetera. But this thing was being so hyped. Everyone was talking about
it. Yeah, they put all their chips in on this.
Yeah, and sometimes that's a good thing, but it just... sometimes it doesn't pay off, and in this one it didn't pay off. And I'm not here gloating. I'm not here to say I told you so. Jeff asked me one time, is this a main event? And I said, if it's Lynch and Ronda Rousey, yeah, I would say so. And there's nothing to do with Charlotte being included in it because she has every right to be in the main event as well. I just thought the way it was set up and the way they're trying to, like you said, reward everybody, right? Okay, you're trying to reward everybody. So you put this triple threat match out there, and you're promoting this is the main thing you need to see. So what's going to happen? You know, maybe I'm not saying they weren't ready for this. They've won this main event position. They've wanted it for so long. They've worked so hard to get it. But at the same time, when you do get that opportunity, and you know, it's not easy for me to say this too, when you get the opportunity, you have to take advantage of it, regardless of what the circumstances are. And fortunately, that didn't happen. We saw what we thought was going to happen: Becky Lynch winning, becoming the champ now, SmackDown and Raw Women's Champion. And now it leads to the question, you know, Ronda's going to take some time off. Supposedly she got injured, broke her hand. Charlotte, we see where she goes from here.
Nowhere to be seen this past Monday in SmackDown Live or on Raw.
Yeah. So. And we'll see what happens. But ultimately, in the end, great history was made at WrestleMania, but unfortunately, it didn't live up to the billing. Just like when people say, debate, hey, Rock and Hogan should have been the last match at 18, not Triple H and Jericho. Hindsight's 2020. Everybody wants to play with, say, Monday morning quarterback, right? It's easy for us to say this, guys. I understand. I'm not trying to take anything away from it because I'm not pointing the fingers like, haha, I knew this was going to work.
No, I didn't want to see him do
you
bad.
You wanted to be successful.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, this is typical, unfortunately, of WWE where they kind of just put the main focus on everything. I think if they had done the equal amount of success or equal amount of promotion for everything else on the card, then the pressure probably would have been taken off and we wouldn't have been nitpicking at it so much like we are now. But again, that's more WWE because they said, you have to see this. And this was the end result.
Yeah, and to me, honestly, going back on things now, again, I'm not going to be a Monday morning quarterback here, but, man, I really dropped the ball on how impactful Kofi Kingston's victory over Daniel Bryan was going to be. The emotion on social media, you know, the story, the message that it sends, because they are storytellers. And at first, I really wasn't too key on the storyline, and I felt that Kofi Kingston at one point truly was a B-plus player. That was my thought of Kofi. And I thought it was, okay, it happened at Elimination Chamber, and okay, we got this storyline, and you know the fans want it. But I don't know what happens afterwards. What happens? Because it's also, okay, he gets a title, but what next? So I was wondering that, and at the end of the day, it really wasn't about that. It was about Kofi Kingston breaking barriers down, and to see MVP and Shad Gaspard on Twitter and watching their reaction, watching their boy Kofi win it,
and seeing the tears come down their eyes and just being like, man, it was so significant. And I was blind to it because honestly, Trent Center, I'm not a guy that sees color. I see everybody the same, you know, and I'm very proud of that and proud of my beliefs on that. And so not realizing just the importance though on this, man, this should have been the main event. This should have been the main event because I swear to God, Trent Center,
that's what I said.
When we left the arena, it was a ghost town. People were spent just because being there for 7.5 hours, right? But it wasn't like Daniel Bryan when he won at 30 and the fans were going, yes, yes, yes. And people were chanting and laughing and in the spirit. People, the spirit was gone as soon as Becky won that championship. Mm-hmm. Everyone just was like looking to get to the exits and just get out of there. There's nobody like, you know, saying, oh my God, I can't believe this. Did you see this? No. People were just zooming out. And if Kofi Kingston would have won, the fans would have been going crazy to the exits, seeing Kofi Kingston being that the final image of WrestleMania. The woman could have headlined it next year in Tampa. But again, though, I can't blame them because this was the golden opportunity. Becky was that hot. Ronda was that mainstream. And Charlotte was that ring general. So you had to do it. But at the end of the day, you can make a strong argument that Kofi and Daniel Bryan should have closed out the show. So many memories of WrestleMania, Trendsetter, and I'm just going to leave it at this. I'm going to give you a quick top five because we'd have a long-ass show. So I would say Kurt Angle's farewell match, Batista Triple H, the women's match, Kofi Kingston winning the championship, and, you know, those were my top moments.
Yeah, I mean, for me, top moments for me, you know, the Kofi, Daniel Bryan's probably one of my favorites. The Moody Barber asked me, like, what was your favorite match? And I was like, that was it. I was more looking forward to AJ and Orton, although that didn't live up to par. A lot of issues there. I would say top moments would be that. Seth Rollins beating Brock Lesnar the way he did, especially early on.
Yeah, those would be my five, yeah.
Yeah, and those would be it. You know, I have to give a lot of credit to Miz and Shane, although I didn't like the storyline, the way they beat the hell out of each other in that match and the crazy spots that they took. And I told this to Jeff several times before. I mean, I love Shane McMahon. I'm happy that he's back. And it's cool he's on TV. But just stay out of the ring, man. Seriously. Not because he's bad. It's just I'm just scared that Shane McMahon just doesn't know when to say
no. Well, he's the best in the world.
Well, yeah, he's the best in the world now. But it's like, Shane, like, please. Your body's going to be like, what the hell are you doing, man? But I'm again, excited to see them always perform. And, yeah, those are my top moments from WrestleMania. But, again, it's not about, for me, guys, a particular match or a particular event that we go to. To me, it's more about the experience. And, you know, like I mentioned before early on, and I joked about it, and I said this to Jeff, especially where I met live towards the end of the show, that it's about enjoying the moment. If really looking back retrospectively, for me at least, that, you know, at 29, it's where it all started for myself, saying, you know what, I like being a part of this. I want to continue this tradition to 30, and then it went to 31, 32, etc. And to see where it is now, where we've come so far, I feel, and, you know, I know internally we are our own worst critics, so we want to be definitely more ahead of it, but to have members like the crew who listen to this and watch and support it, watch us on YouTube, watch the crazy things that I do on my miniseries Adventures with the Transfer, it's just very humbling to feel that, wow, where we started to where we are now and where the future holds gives me that extra motivation to continually go through those sleepless nights and especially do the show with you, Jeff. So it was a great experience. I live for the experience, and it was one to remember, definitely. So in that sense, WrestleMania 35 was a success to me, and looking forward to the warm weather in Florida and Tampa Bay for 36.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Trendsetter.
And don't say it.
So many people to thank. I want to thank Mark J. Cristal of MJK Public Relations for all the media opportunities for Ring of Honor. I want to thank Ross Foreman for Impact Wrestling. Really instrumental in getting us a lot of media stuff and a lot of content for our show this past week, which you will find on our website in the next few days. And also want to thank BodySlam.net for allowing us to do the coverage. You can find our articles and the show on BodySlam.net. And of course, Trendsetter, next week is the superstar shakeup for the WWE. It's that time of year, so we'll talk about that, discuss it, break it down. And again, follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Go on the website, highspotpodcast.com. And also, we're available at
bodyslam.net. And also want to thank the Bullet Club Block Party for a tremendous time. All that content, guys, is on our YouTube channel. Like and subscribe. Go to youtube.com/highspotpodcast. And Trendsetter, man, I will see you next week. Hopefully we can make this a recurring thing every week.
Hopefully. Maybe we can start our own streak now. How many times can I be on the show without missing one? So, guys, you've listened to the High Spot Podcast along with Jeff Martin. I am the Trendsetter Brian Berger. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'll catch you next week, guys. The season starts all over again for professional wrestling. There is no offseason. There's no offseason for wrestling. There's no offseason for us, the Jersey Rank crew. So thank you so much. And remember, after WrestleMania weekend, all the stuff that's been going on, you guys can catch us and see everything we've done and share that experience with us. Remember that we do this for one reason and one reason only. We do this for you, the crew.